sports opinion. This chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion. This chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Hey, man, yeah. That is hot. Hey, you know what makes it even hotter?
What's that?
Because I got these headphones. Are just fat. These are my DJ headphones.
Okay.
I heard it all, fool. The boom. I feel like I'm in 3D, you know, downtown.
You got sound bar, man. You watching the flicks and shit, nigga. Right. I hear you.
I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, man. We try to step up, you know, we try to step it up a little bit, man. You know, if we gonna do this shit on the audio visual sort of shit, man, then we gotta have some audio visuals for your ass. And so, yeah, those intros, man, they kind of play a part in how we trying to do things here, man. I want it to look good, man. If we gonna do this live and we gonna do this on video, I mean, most of y'all gonna listen on the podcast, and I get that. But if we gonna do this, we gonna make it an experience for you when you're watching the show, man. Real talk. But
even for the hosts,
even for the hosts, you know,
yo,
for the hosts.
Go ahead, man.
But yo, this is episode 73 of the Beer Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Spin. I'm joined by the homie Cliff, aka DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people, fam.
What is good?
It's been a minute, man. It's been a couple weeks since the last time we've been on the mic talking some shit, man. We've been talking some Last Dance shit. Some other Last Dance shit kind of happened since the last time we was talking. We might talk about it, man, because it's been a while. But, yo, man, there's been so much shit going on, like, sports-wise, news-wise, socio-politically and shit that's tying into the sports news. That we gonna talk a little bit about that today. But before we do any of that, of course, I gotta remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit us up on our hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will get played here live on the show and responded to in kind. And if you're watching us live here on YouTube and or Facebook, you can chop it up with us. You can call into that hotline and talk to us and talk your shit while we talking our shit over here at the Beer Chicken Podcast. So hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Go ahead, leave us those emails. And of course, those emails will get replied to here live on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So you go there. Follow me, chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. And where can I hit you up at, Cliff?
On the gram. And I respond just like he does on Twitter.
Okay.
DJ Neff Music. I'm waiting for that smirk of yours.
Nah, you know what? I gave it up.
Are you done? You done?
I gave it up. You know what I'm saying? I told you. I gave it up last week. I told, like, the last time we was on this mic, I okay, said, you know what? Okay. You know what? Hey, all y'all got to do, follow that nigga, talk to that nigga on Twitter, see how often that motherfucker responds to you, and you'll know for yourself. So DJ I'm not Neff saying Music. It no more.
DJ Neff Music on the gram and on Twitter.
Okay, that's what it is. That's what he said, all right? All right? Also, man, hit us up on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio with a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time. So let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Spanreport Podcast Network and the Beer and Chicken Podcast specifically. Also, hit us up on our website, www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we put those polls up. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like, and of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Spanreport Podcast Network, man, because this shit ain't free, man. I mean, y'all getting this shit for free, but it costs money to do this shit, right? So we really appreciate everybody who helps us out in that way. And hit up our store, man. I just put some new t-shirts and like stuff in the store, man. Like Bunker Bitch 2020. Buy Bunker Bitch 2020, man. We got to get Trump about to pay. You know what I'm saying? So buy Bunker Bitch. You know what I'm saying? Get his ass about to pay. This nigga hiding ass nigga, man. Like protesters up at the White House. This nigga hiding in the bunker. They gonna come back and tell a lie. Like, oh, man, I was just down there inspecting it. Like, nigga, what?
He dusted.
So yeah, man, go ahead, go to the store, cop yourself some merch. We got face masks in the store. I just found that out today. We got face masks in that store, man. So, you know, I guess with the COVID-19 and everything going on, man, like, yeah, You can rock a spare pork or a beer of chicken like face mask, man. That shit is kind of hot. Matter of fact, I need to go ahead and order me some right now, goddammit. But what's been up with you, man? What you been up to?
Changing the house. Went from baby room to getting Mason his official whole new room. Since Jalen ain't never coming back home again, we took his bedroom.
That shit's kind of hot. Uh-oh. Matter of fact, I need to go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Technical difficulties, sir?
Yeah, it was technical. Yeah.
But since Jalen ain't coming home, we changed his room, changed the office. We paint. Well, we're getting some rooms painted. You know how like they have the what they call the wall, just like one wall painted, and it's gonna have like some like graphics on it, kind of like deal. Just whole bunch of stuff, man. Mm-hmm. And since Friday, that's what we have been doing heavy. And the garbage man is gonna be mad at me on Thursday night when they come by and pick this stuff up. He gonna have to get out. But other than that, man, same old, keeping safe, man. Everybody who watching this in the Chi or in Illinois, please be safe out there, y'all, because it's crazy out here, man. You know, all my family in the city or in the suburbs, because it wasn't just downtown where they did all the looting and all the craziness. It's pretty much, I would say, probably 40-mile radius around Chicago, man. So I'm just trying to make sure everybody's still good out there, man.
Indeed.
Make sure y'all get out there too, bro.
Indeed. Well, you know what though? Like, that's been an interesting part about like a lot of the demonstrations and stuff that have been happening across the country, especially like being connected with Chicago, you know, so much and seeing the disparate, like the different ways in which, how much is affecting certain neighborhoods and how much is affecting certain areas and how much that it isn't, right? So like, like I said, I got family in Chicago. Most of my family is in Chicago, so I'm getting updates as to like all this shit that's happening there. And then I'm here in Detroit, and it didn't get cracking here in Detroit in the ways in which it got cracking in Chicago. Like, it just didn't crack this. I mean, we've had demonstrations here. There was somebody who, I remember that first night, that first when shit was real hot, there was someone who got shot and killed at a demonstration in downtown Detroit. We watched that live on the news. Like, the damn reporter was like, oh, shit. Like, she forgot she was on TV. You know, like, that happened and whatnot. But, and it was weird because I saw one of my coworkers at the fucking, at the demonstrations and shit. Like, he there with his cell phone, like, videotaping everything. Interestingly enough, this nigga pulled his cell phone out Friday or some shit at the job, man. It was kind of crazy. It was some domestic violence shit happening on the block I was working on. This nigga, there he is with his fucking video camera, just videotaping and shit. I'm like, hey, man, I'm just trying to work, man. If you ain't got shit to do, I got something you can do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you standing with a fucking phone, bro. I got some shit to pick up a wrench, nigga. Pick up a wrench. I got some shit you can do.
A wrench.
While you standing there with your fucking phone. But, nah, man, like, it didn't get cracking here as much as it did in Chicago. And, you know, I've seen, like, you know, how people have responded to it. I saw a lot of folks from back home talking about, like, you know, why they tearing up our shit. You know what I'm saying? I saw a lot of that. And truthfully speaking, I was kind of put off by some of it, you know, because it was like as if people didn't necessarily understand the anger that mm-hmm. makes someone go to that point where, like, yo, we've been trying to tell y'all for the longest, like, some shit gotta like change, and it takes us, you know, doing this shit for it to get any real fucking attention whatsoever. So it's been interesting to kind of watch how, like, people have responded to the protests, how people have responded to the demonstrations, how people have responded to the looting, how we hold people accountable for it, who we hold accountable for it, like all of that stuff. But yeah, man, I know y'all listen to us for the sports and shit, but like it's seeped into the sports too. So like, this is just kind of what it is right now. But yeah, man, I mean, we're good over here. There's, like, been curfews and whatnot, but it's been relatively calm here in the Detroit area, bro.
Yeah, well, can't speak the same, man. You can't even go past, for those that know about the lay of the land in Chicago, you can't even get off the Dan Ryan. You can't even get off the E-Way, and you have to show that you live somewhere over there. And, like, it's crazy. It's just crazy, but, you know, I just hope that everybody who is actually involved with any of like the loot. And I hope they really do understand it's not really helping the situation. It's just not like, you know, before we got on, you said people are just, you know, finding an opportunity to get some free stuff. And at the end of the day, you know, it's really not about the free stuff. You know, it's really about, you know, why do you have to do it around the corner from your crib, yo? You know, you can go tear down Michigan Avenue if you want to, because that's the Mag Mile. You know, they got super bread, you know, but there's no grocery stores on the South Side that's open right now, man. Very, very, very few. It's just straight ignorance, man. But
let's get to the sports, man. This shit sounds, this is fucking depressing. No.
I know. And I'm like, this is a great segue talking about my topic, right?
Yeah, go into it. Let's get into it, man.
Let me just pull it up on my phone real quick. And of course, you know, everything that's going on, unfortunately, we have had all of this situation bleed in all facets of society right now. There's no way that your life is not being affected by what's going on. This whole situation with the protests, of course, all these superstars come out. If you guys don't know about the whole Drew Brees situation,
I got video for all of that stuff. I got
you. If you want to lead with that, then I can lead with mine, so they can kind of understand where that came from.
Okay, so yeah, Drew Brees caught the shit end of everybody's attitude this week because because Drew Brees, you know, he been holding on to a talking point that a lot of white folks have been holding on to in regards to like the demonstrations with Colin Kaepernick's silent protest. You know what I'm saying? That's the interesting thing too. Like all these white folks was talking about how, like, you know, I can't understand why you guys are out here looting. I can't understand why you guys are out here being so violent. You know, you lose your moral high ground when you do these sorts of things, you know? And like, yeah, but when we was out here like minding our fucking business, kneeling in the corner, y'all was mad about that shit too. So no matter what we do, y'all gonna have a problem with it. But Drew Brees was asked a question by Yahoo News, I believe it was. He was asked a question about the protest and whatnot, and he gave an answer that would have been okay with half of the country 4 years ago. I think there's been a bit of a shift now, and like Drew Brees like caught himself like finding out that he's on the other side of the shift. So let me pull this video up. I know I got it. I'll never disrespect the flag by kneeling. So this is it. Let me go ahead and pull this up so you guys can watch right along with us here. Here we go. Check it out.
Everyone is looking back now at Kaepernick's protests from a few years ago, and obviously they were always about police brutality. And now it's coming back to the fore, and a lot of people expect that we will see players kneeling again, even when the NFL season starts. I'm curious how you think the NFL will and should respond to that. And of course, you're such a leader in the league. What is your responsibility as a leader in times like this for the rest of your teammates and players in the league?
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country?
I promise you,
it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all
do better. Are we?
And that we are all part of the solution.
Are we? So I'm going to just say this right now. And just.
You shouldn't have been talking shit.
This is what it is with like with what he had to say on that, man. But. Go ahead, continue with what you were going to say concerning what Drew Brees had to say about that.
I was going to wait for one of your little chime-ins there because I know you got some bomb ones. Okay, so on CNN.com, LeBron called out, actually the title of this says, LeBron James calls out Fox News host Laura Ingraham for defense of Drew Brees. Yeah. She actually said that, hold on, let me see. She called it, he's allowed to have his own view about what kneeling and the flag mean to him. I mean, he's a person, Ingraham said of Brees after his disrespecting the flag comments earlier this week. This is beyond football, she added. James has now retweeted a video with both of them suggesting that the nationwide protests in the wake of George Floyd's death are happening because we are in simp FN tired of this treatment right here. Yeah. If you still haven't figured out why our protest is going on, why we're acting as we are, and is because we are simply effing tired of this treatment right now. Can we break it down for you any simpler than that right here? He added, and to my people, don't worry, I won't stop until I see change.
Yeah.
He should hashtag shut up and dribble, because she said that LeBron should just shut up and dribble. Even though he was just speaking his freedom of speech, as yeah. Drew Brees was, she said that he should shut up and dribble. Mark Ingraham, did you see what he said?
No.
Fantastic. Some of his teammates had some great, great videos.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of them, and I just didn't have time to like grab all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I only saw two, but just to sum it up, he said... of course, some of these memes out here like show Drew Brees hiking the ball, and like the offensive line like forgot to like block somebody or like some extra disrespectful.
Yeah.
But no, one of the points that came across, which I thought was a fantastic response, was like, Drew, you know, your narrative and what you understand and what you experience as a human being doesn't negate what we experience. I can't tell you that what you're doing is disrespectful to the flag based off of what you experienced in life and this, that, and the third, because what our experience is totally different, and what our grandfathers went through, and the ones that even went to war, they didn't come back home to open arms and stuff like that. I'm going to read one more thing in here. Ingraham, she said, I think in order to heal and shed light on gross injustice, our country needs more dialogue. Nonetheless, we need more respect and not retribution. You know, here's the thing, and I watched something that Eric Dyson. Yeah, he said the issue is everybody has an opinion, right? But whose is right? What opinion is actually going to make that true change? And I'm not saying she's wrong. You know,
she's wrong.
You can light it on fire all you want to.
She's wrong.
But when it comes to her telling LeBron that he needs to just go shut up and dribble, that's now you sound like Trump at the end of the day, because you should have said to Drew Brees, he should go shut up and hike or something like that. Because guess what? He's given his opinion on what he feels about the situation. You know, a lot of this are a lot of the people who sound like Drew Brees. They just either they're voluntarily saying what they're saying, which probably you feel like they know what they're doing at the end of the day. But a lot of the misunderstanding on why people out here are upset is because they've never had to deal with it. Period. In sports, they just didn't have to.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys that I know that are in the league or that were in the league, they're not like super duper stars, but guess what? They got money, and they got treated just the same as me and you have done in the past situation that me and you have experienced. And the thing is, it's the same thing. You know, I hate to be like this type of dude, but it's like, yo, maybe they need to get a little taste of that cream pie, because then they'll understand where we coming from at the end of the day.
Yeah. Just going to like kind of address a little bit of like the Laura Ingraham part of it real quick. Like the reason why I'm not cutting that bitch no slack is because of the whole shit about shut up and dribble. Yeah. The reason why she told him to shut up and dribble was because LeBron James was out there speaking on a political issue. He was speaking specifically about Donald Trump and how Donald Trump has handled a lot of the protests surrounding police brutality. He was addressing that specifically. And so when LeBron James was speaking his mind as it concerns him as a professional athlete, as it concerns him as a black man in America, her thing was to belittle that dude, to say that he, as a matter of fact, she went so far as to say that LeBron James was unintelligent. When she before she even got to the shut up and dribble part, she talked about how he didn't go to, you know, college or whatever, as if he really did. Like, the dude was about to be a fucking billionaire having never went to college. Like, let that be a lesson to you that, like, yo, if you really are extremely fucking gifted at what you do, you too can be a billionaire having never gone to college. Right? Right. LeBron James is vastly more influential in the world than she is, and yet she still found it as, she looked at that as an opportunity to kind of take him down a peg, because here he was, this dude who didn't go to college, this dude who is also rich and famous and influential, and he has an opinion on a president that she didn't agree with. And so that's where the whole shut up and dribble aspect came from. Now,
here's what she said. She actually was responding to LeBron and Kevin Durant.
I remember.
She said, "You guys, you're great players, but no one voted for you.
I remember.
Millions elected Trump to be their coach, so keep your political comedy to yourself," as someone said.
Yeah, a million more motherfuckers didn't vote for this sack of shit in the White House right now, so let's just keep that a buck. But the other part about this is that, like, yo, it's the same thing. Nobody voted for Drew Brees either. You know what I'm saying? Nobody gave a damn what Drew Brees, like, I mean, this Yahoo Finance dude was asking Drew Brees. And here's the thing. He put it in the context of what's happening in the world right now. And he's like, yo, this future NFL season, you may start seeing more NFL players kneeling because of what's happening right now. And instantly, Drew Brees goes back to the old talking point of, well, I'm not here for anybody disrespecting the flag. And it's the thing that we've talked about this ad nauseum on this show, when the whole thing with Colin Kaepernick and everything else, we talked about this so much. But it's like, yo, at this point, if you think that this is about the flag and the fucking national anthem, you never wanted to listen to what the point of the protest was about. You never gave a damn what the impetus that brought this about was even about. Your thing is, well, I'm going to stay on this being disrespectful of the flag and the national anthem and all this other shit. Like, you're staying there because you're going to feel uncomfortable talking about anything else, right? And so when he goes into talking about his grandfathers, you know, my grandfathers fought in World War II. Guess what, motherfucker? So did ours. Our grandfathers fought in that same fucking war, fought under that same fucking flag, and came back home and didn't get that hero's welcome. So that flag doesn't necessarily represent the same thing that it does for us, because it's never represented the same thing for us. This country has never lived up to its principle or its ideals. It's called itself striving to, but every time we strive to do that, there's also a contingent of Americans who want to bring us back to something a little bit different, or bring us back to something a little bit more subjugating of, you know, people of color or minorities across this country. This is why, you know, there's like a person like a Donald Trump even able to become president of the United States. That's a response to having the first black man in America become president of the United States of America. That's a response to that. Like, yo, we think we on an upward trajectory. Nah, man, we got it. Nah. These niggas are getting too uppity. They had a black president. Nah, fuck that. Right? And so what Drew Brees was expressing was nothing but like the same thing that Donald Trump had been expressing when he had issues with Colin Kaepernick kneeling, when he had issues with all these other NFL players kneeling, and he called them sons of bitches. The same thing. Like, this is the same thing. And so this is why Laura Ingraham finds it easy to say, well, you know, well, that's just his opinion. You know, he has a right to say it. Yeah, LeBron James had a right to say it too. And yet here you was on fucking national television telling that man to shut up and dribble. Fuck that bitch. I ain't got time for it. I don't.
The thing is, don't get me wrong. You don't tell nobody to go shut up and dribble, you know. And when you start trying to degrade someone's character based off the fact that they didn't have an education from college, Bill Gates did not finish college, and he's one of the richest men on the planet.
Yep.
But, you know, there are more people who don't have educations that have more money than most of the people who do have educations. OK, you know, I didn't graduate, and I think I do. I think I do OK. But, I'm really big on, you know, when people say stuff like shut up and dribble, I'm big on the, like, the respect factor. You know, like, you can have your opinion all day long and not disrespect somebody. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You can definitely be like, you know what, Twan, I don't agree with you, but I respect your opinion. Mm. I mean, it can be that easy. But then to go as far as, like, you know, you just go, shut up and dribble. You know, it's like now you're taking it beyond what we're even talking about. It's getting real personal, and that's when things can take a different direction. Yeah. You know, LeBron has definitely shown over the years that he has been on this high pedestal that he's probably made some mistakes we don't know about, which is okay as well because he's human. But he has not been in, you know, the media doing a whole bunch of negative stuff where people could be like, you know, he's one of them. You know, I saw the video just the other day of J.R. Smith beating that dude on the street. Did you see that?
Yep.
Craziness, you know? So I'm not saying, you know.
Is that a mistake, though? Somebody's out there busting open your windows and shit, and you like, wait a minute.
Right. No, I get it.
You're lucky that's all he got.
But you got to be careful. When you are somebody like J.R. Smith, who's 6'7", you look, send somebody else to go do your dirty work, bro, because the second they see you doing it, no matter what that person was doing, you're going to be wrong. Unfortunately, I hate to say that. You will be wrong.
I don't know about he's going to be wrong, but he's going to be held liable. I don't know about being wrong.
Well, here's what I say, bro.
He's going to be held liable.
They're going to look at you like you are a bad person. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Well, who are the day that we're talking about, though?
Dolores. Not you and me, yeah, but Dolores, like, Ingram is what,
yeah,
I'm
like
saying.
That's the thing. And here's the part, and I'll talk about this on the Spam Report a lot, man. Like, kind of not really giving a fuck what the Laura Ingrams of the world kind of think, right? Sure. And so here's the thing, like, and I know we like, you kind of alluded to, like, yo, you can have an opinion, everybody has an opinion, I can respectfully disagree with your opinion. I'm of the mindset that, like, yeah, that's possible and that's true, but I'm also the mindset of, like, everybody's opinion ain't fucking valid, because if your opinion isn't, like, rooted in any sort of, like, education on the subject, then I'm just not pressed to, like, really honor that opinion much at all. Like, if you're coming from a place of ignorance, why does your opinion hold the same fucking weight as someone who's learned it on a certain topic? So for me, I'm just like, yeah, everybody got opinions. That don't mean everybody's opinions should be held with the same weight and given the same value, depending upon what the topic and what the where we coming at with the issue. But yeah, I've kind of divorced myself from giving a fuck what white people thinking about a lot of shit. Like, real talk. Like, at a certain point, as black people, we got to stop giving a fuck what so many white people think about shit. You know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of crippling. You know what I'm saying? When you can't go about living your regular, normal-ass life because you're so worried about, well, you know, well, what the white folks going to think about this. Man, fuck them. Because they ain't worried about us when they out here doing a whole bunch of stupid shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is. They live life free, bro. You think a white person has ever went out here like, well, you know, I wonder what these black folks are going to think about this. No, they don't do that kind of shit. They just go out there, do the shit, and then they ask for forgiveness later. You know what I'm saying?
But they also don't grow up and visually and on a day-to-day basis, who do we always look to for guidance? Your bosses, your managers, the executive, they're always a white. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying a lot of the times there are a lot of white people who are in superior roles than black folk.
There are a lot of mediocre white people who are in positions of power.
I'm not saying that the level of their, you know, superiority matters. I'm just saying in general, when through your life you have seen more white men and women as somebody you have to, like, look for direction from. And it's like a subliminal thing. So when you say that, oh man, white people ain't never did it, because ain't no half their life a whole bunch of black people ain't never told them what to do. And if you think about now, when these athletes, when they get all this money, we have talked about athletes getting money on this show multiple times. And these dudes do and say the most stupidest shit on the planet. Look at AB. We talked about AB for like three shows. This dude has so much money. Mm. And guess what? It's unfortunate that when we get money, we do some stupid stuff because we're acting. We don't even know how to act. we don't know how to act. And I hate to say this, but at the end of the day, you're right. You could say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to white people no more. And I get that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You still got to live with them. And as much as you want to say, man, I ain't going to listen to them, you still got to listen to them.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is what I mean when I'm talking about not giving a fuck about what white people think. And when you first start talking about white people in, like, you know, managerial positions, like, I'm just going to use my position as an example. I don't necessarily look to the white people or the white superiors at my particular position, and I look to them for guidance, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, when I'm doing something at the job and I need some, I'll talk to them as far as like, okay, so here's what I want to do. Here's what we can do. What would you allow for us to do? And it's only in the thing of covering my ass, right? So yeah.
Right. Right.
This is what I was directed to do by the person that y'all have put it over the top of me to say this is what it's allowed for me to do. Okay. This is why this came out the way that it did, because that person told me this is how we got to do it. Now, I have a way in my mind and I'm like, yo, I know how to do this safely and I know how to do this correctly another way, but this is the way I'm being told how to do it. Right. And so I put the onus back on them. Okay. So if you're going to have this position, then damn it, earn your money. Earn your money. That's what I'm doing. I don't go to them necessarily for guidance. I go to them to cover my ass when some other shit might be happening. Like, yo, this is the mm-hmm. person y'all need to be talking to, not me, because mm-hmm. this is mm-hmm. the directions that I got. Now, the other part about it is like, yeah, we got to live amongst white people. I'm going to tell you this right now. Black people know white people a whole hell of a lot more than white people know black people. And we have to know white people a lot better than white people know black people, because we got to survive in this motherfucking world. So yeah,
we
know how to kind of, that's where the code switching and shit comes from. That's how we, like, yo, I could talk to you this way, but when I get to the job, I'm like, well, you know, Trevor, we could really do it this way, but I don't necessarily believe that that's the correct way we should go about it. Like, there's a contingency plan. There's a contingency plan in place for us to get this done. You know, like, we can hit them with the code switch, but ultimately, like, it's because we know we have to move in certain ways depending upon where we are in the world. So I get all of that, but at the same time, when I'm talking about you living your life, right, just being a person in America, and you decide that, well, I'm not going to wear these clothes because, well, you know, white people might be outside and I don't know how they're going to talk about me. Or we might go to a restaurant. We might be a little loud at the restaurant. And then you'd be like, well, you know, hold on, man. All these white people looking at us. Man, fuck them. We having a good time. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, divorcing yourself from this idea that you have to constantly be worried about what white people are thinking about you as a person. That's what I be talking about when I'm talking about divorcing yourself from that idea. So, yeah, man. Laura Ingraham talking about, you know, LeBron James in that way, and then flipping it when it became Drew Brees talking about the same issue on the other side of that issue and having so much fucking courtesy and grace allowed for that. Like, yeah, man, I'm just over and done with, you know, that level of hypocrisy. I'm just over it. Like, I'm not giving them no more room on that shit. I'm not doing it.
I'm with it. And that I don't disagree with at all, you know. And see, my point is that she took it to a whole nother level. Whole nother level. She would never say that in LeBron's face. You know, and that right there to me is like, come on, man. You know, and then the thing is, I didn't find it too surprising, because it's Fox at the end of the day. My parents didn't have an education about an eighth grade, but I'm not kidding, didn't have an education. I'm sure.
Yeah, that's a comment in the chat. David Williams in the chat room says, my parents didn't have an education above eighth grade, but life taught them that their kids needed an education to have a chance to compete in life. LBJ knows the value of a good education. He's a dad, but not a dummy. And not only that, man, think about this. You think about how LeBron James has invested his time and money into that school in Ohio. You know, giving other kids an opportunity and a chance to go get a decent education, paying for college educations for these kids after they graduate from that school. Like, he's giving these kids opportunities that he didn't have a chance for when he was coming up. And so, like, you can never knock LeBron James for that. But for Laura Ingraham to come at somebody like that, when he's telling, like, giving you the perspective of millions of black people across this nation, and not just like him as a professional athlete, but just like being a black man in America, when he's expressing that and your retort to that is to shut up and dribble, I ain't got no, and of course, like I said, it's Fox, so like, it is, like, there's a target audience that they're aiming for, and this is the demographic that they're aiming for, but yeah, man, I just have no room. I have no room at all for that level of like condensation, or I said condescension. Condescension coming from
is it water in the office, bro? Just let me know. You need to get the roof changed or something.
It's something, man. It's something.
Condensation.
Condensation, man. Y'all
it's
know.
It's condensation on that bottle of Stella right there. That's what it is.
It's cold, baby.
Is that a different type of Stella, bro? Or is it really Stella in that? Just let me know. It's all Stella. Good. We ain't going to
do it. Do they make a different kind of Stella? Shit, I don't know. If they make a different kind of Stella.
You could have poured something else in there. You did.
Nah, I didn't do that, man. I leave the Stellas as they are, man, for real. But, yo, that's in our little sports news, man. We got another story here that we kind of want to get into. I mean, like, a lot of this is kind of going to be kind of tied into what's going on with the protests and George Floyd and everything else. I know we were talking about maybe the Dream Team and MJ and all of that. Fuck that. It's been a while, man. I'm tired of talking about that. But so Roger Goodell actually apologized for not listening to the NFL players about the racism that's happening across the country. Well, where the fuck is it? There it is.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
I had to find it.
You like?
I'm like, where is it? I got so many motherfucking things here, but so let me pull this video up because here's Roger Goodell apologizing for the fact that like the NFL basically he didn't mention Colin Kaepernick's name, but he's basically apologizing for the way the NFL comported itself during those protests and during that time. So let me go ahead and pull this up so you guys can watch right along with us. Here we go.
It has been a difficult time for our country. In particular, black people in our country.
No shit.
First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League.
No shit.
And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
All right. So first things first, like, I know this is like kind of immaterial, but I'm going to need him to turn that phone on like sideways so we get the whole shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate watching videos.
why he look like he in a hotel room, dog? Hey, old ass couch.
Man, he did the draft. He did the draft in front of his living room TV with the Xbox and everything, bro. It was crazy.
Yo, that is hilarious.
But what do you think about the fact that, like, the NFL, the commissioner, has now come out to say, like, yo, we fucked up, man.
You know what? First of all, It takes some kahunas to say you're wrong when you sit on that in that seat. That's just first. A lot of people want to be like, oh man, it don't make no difference. He did what he did. Like, first of all, everybody has an opportunity to at least say they was wrong, admit to their wrongdoing or whatever it was. Get a man some credit. On Instagram, they still dogging Roger Goodell. I'm like, see, I get the man was wrong, but if he's coming out like blatantly and giving you guys the whole, 411. Take it for what it is. You can't, I mean, okay, right? One thing he didn't do, he should have said that he was wrong for what he did to Colin Kaepernick. That's what he should have said. That's my opinion. I feel like He should have spotlighted that. He just said the players and not specifically, you know, Kaepernick. So my thing is, that's what he should have did. He's saying he's going to protest with you and do all this stuff. I just don't see that happening. If he does do it, fine. If not, you know, it's not a big deal. The thing is, right now, he actually made that video before Drew Brees. All right. Drew Brees interview came out the next day. The next day.
I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to the sequence.
Yeah. But all that to say, I think the NFL is just getting ahead of it right now. That's what I feel like from a business point of view. They're getting ahead of it. Why? Because they're not going to have any people in the stands for the football games. So they're going to have be selling the game online and doing all types of other stuff to give you a seat on the 50 or whatever the case is. They're trying to get ahead of what's going to happen as far as the business side of this come time, the beginning of the NFL season or when this or the NFL comes back, because they know now that probably every NFL black player who has any type of attachment to the movement, you know, they're not going to give two shits if whether or not Roger Goodell doesn't want them to kneel or not, because they're going to kneel, period. So I think it's creating a nice essence of we got your back. You know, we're sensitive to what's going on. They may not go as far as like people expect them to, but at least they're stating it right now, and that right there makes all the difference in the world when it comes to okay, whose side you on? Okay, because people are going to forget that Roger Goodell even did it in the first place. You know. To a degree, I think Roger Goodell was for real. Honestly, I do think he was for real, because it's hard not to understand what's going on in the world and the guys that he has to be in contact with every day. All these NFL players look up to him because he's the CEO of the NFL. He's the chair. So it's just like, look, man, he has to stand in a certain way so at least he can have a league. You know what I'm saying? So he can have a league and have games. That's all I really got, man. I mean, honestly, it was such a short video. You know, there was no questioning him to see how he really felt about anything else, some more details about the George Floyd situation. You know, it was just he led everything with, you know, the National Football League, .. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just really hitting some points so he can be done.
Yeah.
You know, put him in the hot seat.
One of the things I think that you kind of hit on was the getting out in front of this, you know, as on a business tip.
Yeah.
And you see this happening politically too. So you see somebody like a Rush Limbaugh go on the Breakfast Club to talk about how terrible it was what happened to George Floyd. But then if you just go back in recent history, him saying that what Eric Garner died from was not a chokehold. That, you know, like there's a concerted effort by some on the right to kind of absolve themselves of all of the rhetoric that they had beforehand, because you can almost tell the tide is turning a bit. I kind of feel like this time is a little bit different than the times before because we got so many other things happening, especially with the COVID-19 and the quarantines and so many people being out of work. There's a concerted effort for them to soften their image and soften their rhetoric, so to speak. So I think you hit something right there on the head when you talked about them trying to get out in front of this to kind of like, you know, make it more, you know, palatable for people to consume the NFL product when the NFL finally does, you know, come back and when football starts back up and everything else. The other part about this is that, like, I don't know if I give Roger Goodell as much grief as you do, in the sense that I believe that Roger Goodell is acting as the liaison between the public and the owners of those NFL teams. And the owners of those NFL teams are his boss. So when it was politically expedient, when they thought that it was politically expedient and financially prudent for them to be on the other side of this, because and you can almost tell it seemed as though they value the monies from maybe racist white folks than they did value the money from black fans who watch these games, despite the fact that the league is primarily a black sport, right? So it seemed to me as though like they prioritize that, like, well, you know, there's a contingent of America, especially in the South, that is, you know, they tend to lean conservatively. You start talking about Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, Georgia. Those are like football hotbeds. And they get a lot of money from those states. Like, they started to try to prioritize that as opposed to like prioritizing what was right. And then on top of that, keep in mind that, like, yo, the people who make that kind of money tend to lean on a conservative bent anyway. So they had really no incentive to support a Colin Kaepernick in that time, because one, it wasn't politically expedient at the time to do so. Two, they thought it was financially prudent for them not to, like, they thought he was bad for business, pretty much, by him coming and doing it. Despite the fact that, like, people were buying Colin Kaepernick jerseys, people were, like, selling, like, his shoes sold out instantly. Like, Nike made him a spokesperson. Like, Colin Kaepernick was, like, viable financially. I don't understand why these people thought that Colin Kaepernick couldn't make them money, but they made that financial decision and they thought that it was financially prudent for them to not to have him on any NFL roster. Every NFL owner had an opportunity to sign Colin Kaepernick and chose not to do it. And so now with Roger Goodell coming out and basically coming out with this apology, it's as if these owners are now hiding behind Roger Goodell to say that, like, yo, we fucked up and we want y'all like to come back to the game. We don't want the smoke. Basically,
exactly.
we don't want the smoke. We see y'all out here tearing shit up. We don't want the smoke. We just want y'all to come out here, watch these games, buy these jerseys, pay for these high ass hot dogs. We want y'all to continue to go ahead and do that. And Roger Goodell just simply becomes the face of what the NFL owners are essentially making him do. Now, he gets paid a lot of money to do exactly that. I think Roger Goodell gets paid $50 million a year. So, like, it's not to say that, like, anybody has to feel sorry for Roger Goodell, because the man is handsomely, he's handsomely compensated for the kind of shit that he's out here doing. But.
Was you going to say consummated?
I said consummated. Oh, man, I'm trying to. You know,
what's on your mind today, man?
My words is just all, okay. They all over.
He was handsomely consummated, you know what I'm saying?
Discombobulated around this motherfucker, man.
There's something else in that bottle.
I'm discombobulated. But no, man. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know if I hold as much smoke for Roger Goodell. I think Roger Goodell is just basically doing what he's paid to do. And so now the messaging that the NFL is trying to get across is like, yo, we know we're going to have a problem because of the way the mood of the nation has kind of switched on this issue. Like, even white folks are coming out and, like, being upset at this, and even some of these police, like, you go to these demonstrations, some of these police officers are kneeling with the protesters, marching with the protesters. Some of these sheriffs are saying, like, yo, man, I'm not even trying to, like, so there's been a shift in the way people talk about it, and there's a shift in some of the corners where people were formerly of the mindset, like, yo, they deserve what happened to them. Some of those people are finally like, yo, man, but that was wrong. You hate that it take them so long to get there. You hate that because, like, man, how many examples did it take for you to finally see that, like, yo, this was fucked up? You hate that it took them so long, but you also, like, well, you're here now. Let's move forward and let's try to make this change here now. And so this is, again, like, as you alluded to before, like, the NFL just getting out in front of this shit. So I just kind of wonder going forward, like, what's it going to really mean, though? Like, are we going to see anything systemic? Like, because the news before this was, like, the NFL with some another half-ass attempt at, like, hiring black coaches. Like, they had them, like, now you got to hire, you got to interview at least two black coaches or some shit like that. You got to have an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. Like, the rules for hiring head coaches and shit, like, they tried to juice up the Rooney Rule because they're having such a problem with hiring black coaches. So, like, the NFL is having a problem with racial issues in the league. And so this is, yeah, just another way to, like, okay, we with y'all, fight, you know, fight the power, although they are the power, fight the power, and, you know, Black Lives Matter and all that jazz. Hopefully y'all watch these NFL games this season.
Diversity is a big deal when it comes to back office in the NFL. We had a show about this some time back. Can't really figure out exactly what the topic was, but I know we were talking about how there were only so many, handful of black coaches in the NFL. But, you know, the way what and of course, we can't call it this very second, but I would love to come back to this topic, you know, come time December, to really see if anything did change or what they did to, like, give a different outlook or a different perspective on the NFL and how they stand against police brutality or, you know, racism or whatever the case may be. I think, you know, you said that Roger Goodell is doing what he's told to do. Yeah, I understand that. But I also think that $50 million a year, not to get in front of the entire world and say that, yo, you gotta live with that. And that's tough. That's tough, bro. And Roger Goodell don't want to have to, you know, eat up what the owners are going to tell him what to do on every topic. I don't know if I agree with that. But at the end of the day, you know, he's the spokesperson, just like Donald Trump is the spokesperson of the United States of America. And right now, especially with what happened with Drew Brees, Jesus Christ, it's going to be something else with the New Orleans games, fool, especially the support that Drew Brees gets.
So I'm glad you actually brought back Drew Brees, because he did apologize, right?
Like, he did, but that's come on, man. Come on.
No, I hear you. I hear you. He did apologize. He did apologize. Now, this is after, like, he got, like I said, he got the shit in of everybody's motherfucking ire when he came out with that first fucking statement. So he had to issue two apologies, because he apologized the first time. People mocked that shit. We were like, hey, man, did you really grab that shit from Getty Images, you know, like, fight against racism? Did you really do that shit? But he issued another apology because I believe Donald Trump actually, like, responded to him.
So he said he's my favorite. Hold on. I follow Trump on Twitter on purpose.
Why?
Because
why?
Well, you want to know for real?
Yeah, I do.
Because when Donald Trump actually makes speeches, he adjusts the financial game really hard. So I need to know what he's talking about. That's it. Okay. Other than that, I will never care.
Okay.
I know. I hear you. This is what Donald Trump said. Which to me was just dumb. Oh, well, just pretty much like everything else he says. where'd it go? Because he hit right on, your boy, man. Drew Brees. He says Drew Brees is like his favorite quarterback or something. No, that's, I'm going too far back in time. Don't forget, y'all, DJ Neff Music on Twitter. You see, I be on here, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, nigga, just reading.
I do read. Somebody hit me, I will respond. I have no problem responding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But go ahead. I'll find what Trump said in a second.
So let me pull this video up. Let me pull the video up of Donald Trump talking, or basically Drew Brees issuing an apology, saying he will do better.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now.
Facts.
I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally. And I know no words will do that justice.
All right. So what I'll say about the apology is this here, man. Like, the only real way you can tell if it's an apology is sincere is change behavior. So unless we see something different from Drew Brees, unless we see some sincere efforts made by Drew Brees to rectify what he said. I mean, he could say all the words in the world. He could talk all the words in the world that he wants to. The only way it's going to ever really be considered a sincere apology is if we see changed behavior, as opposed to the knee-jerk reaction that he had about his grandfather's fight in fucking World War II, as if black people didn't have grandfathers who fought in fucking World War II. So, yeah, man, that's just pretty much all I got to say about Drew Brees and that whole situation there, man.
He could have just kept that. He could have just kept that, because the thing is, he said that he's gonna be a part of the solution. You feel the way you feel, all right? You feel the way you feel. And if you feel like that Kaepernick disrespected the flag because he kneeled for police brutality, that's fine. But you can't be a part of the solution if you feel like what Kaepernick did was wrong. Yeah. You just can't. You just can't, you know. And Drew, you know, you want to be like, look in my eyes. Get that, man.
Look into my eyes and tell me what it is you see. That's like an old Bone Thugs and Harmony song. Take me back to the 90s and shit.
I'm not about to go through all these tweets, but I do know that Donald Trump. It don't matter, man.
Fuck Donald Trump.
He came out and said that Drew Brees is one of his favorite. He's one of his favorite people in the world.
I'm sure he would say that, especially after Drew Brees went out and said that, like, yo, I look at it as total disrespect to the flag, because it's basically echoing the shit that Donald Trump was putting out
out in the world.
And so that I'm sure Donald Trump would be like, yeah, that's one of my favorite quarterbacks. Yeah, whatever, motherfucker. You know, like, just is what it is, man. But yo, I know we've been talking a lot about the NFL and like stuff like that. There has been some NBA news, man. The NBA is actually coming back to finish the regular season, and they're doing it with a 22-team like league. Eight teams gonna sit their asses at the crib, and they gonna have like an 8-game season, and then they gonna go into the playoffs.
God damn!
So let me read the story here. This comes out of ESPN.com. It says the NBA approves a return plan by a vote of 29-1. The NBA Board of Governors voted Thursday to approve a 22-team format to restart the 2019-2020 season in Orlando, Florida, the league announced. Sources told ESPN that the vote was 29-1, with the Portland Trail Blazers voting against the proposal. The National Basketball Players Association has been working closely with the league officials on the plan, and the NBPA's player representatives have conference calls set for Friday to approve the proposal. The board approval of the restart format is a necessary step of resuming the NBA season. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said in a statement, while the COVID-19 pandemic represents formidable challenges, we are hopeful of finishing the season in a safe and responsible manner based on strict protocols now being finalized with public health officials and medical experts. We also recognize that as we prepare to resume play, our society is reeling from recent tragedies of racial violence and injustice, and we will continue to work closely with our teams and players to use our collective resources influence to address these issues in a very real and concrete ways. Under the plan, 13 Western Conference teams and 9 Eastern Conference teams will play 8 regular season seeding games, a possible play-in tournament for the 8th seed in the playoffs at the Walt Disney World Resort. The top 16 teams in the Eastern and Western conferences will be joined by teams currently within 6 games of 8th place in the 2 conferences: New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Washington. The play-in tournament will include the number 8 and number 9 teams in a conference. If the 9th seed finishes the regular season with 4 games of the 8th, within 4 games of the 8th, in that case, the number 9 seed would need to beat the number 8 seed twice to earn the playoff berth, while the number 8 seed would need to win 1 from the 2 potential games. The NBA said the season resuming is contingent on an agreement with the Walt Disney Company, which owns ESPN, to use the Walt Disney Resort for all games, practicing, and housing. Teams will begin training in Orlando starting July 9th through 11th. The league offered dates beyond the July 31st, October 12th season window, with the draft lottery set on August 25th. The NBA draft on August 15th and the 2020-21 season likely beginning December 1st. Sources told ESPN that free agency will begin October 18th with training camp starting November 10th, though teams were told to consider the free agency date as flexible. Some members of the Board of Governors whose teams were left out of the Orlando Restart disagreed with the 22-team format, but decided to cast yes votes. Despite being the lone dissenter, Thursday, the Trailblazers remained eager to resume the season, but voted no based on a belief of the organization and players' input, and that there were more competitive and innovative formats on the table, including those that addressed the 2020 draft lottery odds based on regular season results, in Orlando sources said. I'm going to tell you this right now. This sounds like a clusterfuck. This shit sounds goofy, bro. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, I kind of feel like they should have just watched the season. This is around the time that we would be getting, like, we would probably be in, like, the Western or the Eastern Conference Finals now. This is around the time, like, the Western and the Eastern Conference Finals would be happening right now. And, you know, whoever wins will be headed into the NBA Finals. The fact that they're pushing this season all the way back into to start back up again until later in July, and having an 8-game regular season and doing the playoffs, all of this shit's happening in one spot. And you know, them pushing like the season calendar back. So now, like, you got the draft is later in the year. That shit's in August, and they, like, excuse me, the NBA regular season, it, like, the 2020-21 season starts in, like, December. I just feel like, yo, man, like, this season was a wash. Everybody understands that it was a COVID-19 pandemic that killed the season. You just don't have a champion for this season. Start again next year. Start the season in October. The league calendar usually starts over in October anyway. Start your regular season back up in October and be done, and just do it that way. Like, it just seems more equitable for everybody if they did it that way. You know what I'm saying? But, like, this idea, like, yo, we gotta do all this shit to make sure that we can get we can finish this season. Man, this season is a wash, man. Like, I don't even know who's in first. I don't even care who's in, like, first or last place anymore. Like, the season's a wash. To me, I feel like they should have just said, fuck this regular season. Fuck this season. It's done. We just couldn't finish it because of no, for real. Fuck this season. It's done because of all the shit that's going on in the world. Everybody will understand that. Let's start fresh and new on our 2021 season.
I'm not watching none of that. I'm not watching none of these dudes. I'm going to say 22 teams, right? Half of my shape is going to be boring. You know,
they got to have a training camp. They got to get a training camp to restart the same season.
Like, season. Exactly. You know that meme of Swaggy P where he, like, and he got the question marks around his head. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm thinking about. It's like, yo, for real? Like, y'all could have just washed this out. You know, what is this, June? Man, come on. Come on, man. Like, at this point, nobody even wants to watch it. Everybody's kind of like,
there are people who want to watch.
Some people are going to watch.
There are definitely people who, for one, people are, like, people want sports to come back. Like, and there are a lot of folks who are like, they miss the NBA. They want the NBA to return. Sports haven't been around for the last 4 or 5 months. We haven't had any baseball. We haven't had any tennis. You've got a lot of people who are like, yo, they're itching for the sports to come back. And I think this is part of what the NBA is doing, is like, yo, because there are people itching for the sports to come back, and because they got these, I think the financial obligations, I think, speaks more to this than anything else. I think that's really what it is, the financial obligations to the people who bought television rights and everything else. But
I can understand it.
Honestly, I just feel like, yo, this season's a wash. And I ain't got nothing else for you. Like, I'm just like, yo, this season, like, for real, I'm just not... I mean, yeah, it's basketball, and I love basketball, and I'm not going to lie to you. I will watch some of these games, but I'm just saying, like, the idea that we had to do this, like, it had to happen this way, where you're pushing the regular season from this season. Now you're pushing back the regular season for next year. You're pushing that shit back just so that you can do this shit. Like, nah, man, like, hey, it didn't happen, and this is why. And everybody knows why this didn't happen. So I'm just not understanding why they're pushing it to where we have to finish this season out. Like, they had a fucking, what was that? The last work stoppage, I believe, might have been that 1998 lockout. But that was because of a contractual disagreement. This here is because of a fucking global pandemic. I think folks will understand if you don't have a 2019-2020 NBA champion. I think folks will understand if you don't have one of those because of the fucking global pandemic that came across the fucking world. Like, yo, man, real talk, I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan of the fact that they're, like, deciding to do this now in the way in which they're trying to do it. I'm going to watch some games, man, but still, I'm just not... I don't feel like... I don't understand why they're pressing it. I just don't.
I was going to lead to that. And everything has to do with money.
Yeah, it's all money. It's all money.
Everything has to do with money. You know, nationwide, I'm guessing, I know here in Illinois, the lift is up, even though it's really not because you got the National Guard on every corner. But this is definitely a business decision. I truly believe not that many people are going to support it because it's not, it's you know, there's momentum that's built up through sports. The beginning, the preseason, you know, seeing who is shooting good, you know, the trades and all, what this person going to do over here. And, oh, man, the new, you know, number one team in the Eastern Conference Finals. All that stuff builds up. It builds up through the entire season, and it actually gives so much momentum. When it comes down to the playoffs, we are on, like, a natural high. You know, we've talked about so many different teams in the playoffs, whether it's football, baseball, basketball. And when we talk about our feelings around, you know, what teams are going to make the top eight in the East or the top eight in the West, it's because we have, like, gotten to that point right now for 22 teams. Dude, and it's going to be so short. I'm going to be just like this. I don't even care. Whoever wins is almost like an exhibition every game. It's no championship right now. You know, well, and not to cut you off, but when it comes down to whoever does win, it's going to be respected even at a lesser amount than the Spurs. All right, and the Spurs, what do they have? 50 games?
Yeah, they had a 50-game season.
50 games, right? They're going to be looking at this like, man, don't even trip, man. It count, but it really, come on, man.
Yeah, and you know, kind of go back to that, like the idea that, like, you know, so whoever wins this NBA season, whoever wins the championship this season is going to be, like, because you had this, like, you had such a long pause between the start or the end of the season and then the restart of the season and then the subsequent championship, it just doesn't hold the same weight. It just doesn't, man. Like,
yeah,
I get that they want to get back to it. But and we had a poll. I was trying to pull it up while you were talking. I don't know why the hell the damn poll isn't showing up. But we had a poll last week, man. I mean, the last time we were on, when folks were asking, you know, we asked people whether or not they wanted the NBA to come back. And I remember the last time when we pulled that poll up, the vast reason, like the response that got the most votes was they needed to come back because the league minimum players needed their bread, right? Like, people wanted them players to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But but I'm still of the mindset, like, yo, they this season was a wash, and they probably would have been better off just washing their hands of this season and getting ready for the start of the 2020-2021 season, getting that, you know, keeping the league calendar the way that it is, having your draft, having, you know, some, you know, if you're going to have basketball, have maybe your summer league, whatever, however you want to go about doing the off season, but right, have that off season. And then, you know, start again anew in 2021. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you know, it is what it is, man. But it's almost time for us to get on up out of here. But we've been talking with you all long enough. But y'all know, before we get up out of here, this is what we do, y'all. Where do I go? Uh-oh.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
I got way too many bumpers and shit over here, man. But what you winging it on tonight, man?
Oh, man, of course I'm gonna wing it on this whole situation, man. I'm gonna just keep it real, real quick because I know we didn't said enough. I just want everybody to be safe out there, man. There's a lot of news that's not getting released. Here in Chicago, a lot of people that were downtown looting, man. A lot of people got hurt. That weekend, it was almost 100 people who got shot. And not only did people get shot, I think it was like 30 people got killed, and just the numerous amounts of people who end up hospitalized. I got a couple cousins who are nurses, and all the stuff that they were telling me that they experienced. That weekend was just absolutely bananas. you know, please just keep cool, y'all. You know, I mean, I know we're all upset. Honestly, it's ridiculous of a decision for the NBA to go back. You know, I can't wait for sports to come back. That's why we got this show in the first place at the end of the day, yeah. You know. But I just want to make sure that everybody's in the right frame of mind and not do anything, you know, so abstract that it'll put them in harm's way or somebody else in harm's way. That's it, man.
Yeah. All right, then. I'm winging it on Michael Jordan, man.
Oh, God. Again?
No, so check it out, though. I'm winging it because Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand has decided that they were going to contribute $100 million in donations to help to eradicate racial injustice and promote social change. So we get this story here. This comes out of the Bleacher Report. It says Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand have announced a $100 million donation to organizations dedicated to promoting racial equality and social justice, per a statement Friday from Jordan and Jordan brand. The donation will be paid out over 10 years with the goal of ensuring racial equality, social justice, and greater access to education. And so one of the reasons why I'm winging it on this tonight is that, like, when this story came out, there was a lot of people who was talking about, so it's about time. I'm here to tell y'all right now, man, like, that man been giving money to causes for a long time.
A long time.
And just because you don't necessarily see him bragging about the shit or announcing every time he gives money to something does not mean it didn't happen. You don't see the fucking air you breathing, but you breathing like a motherfucker, man. The shit happens, bro. And I'm here to also say that, like, my high school, when I was in high school, I went to Olive Harvey Middle College in Chicago. That school was partially funded with funds from the Michael Jordan Foundation. Now, some of those funds went to, like, allow kids to go on study abroad trips to Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, Dakar, Senegal, Paris, France. Like, opportunities that a lot of those inner city kids would never have gotten had it not been for those funds. And so I also want to kind of take it back to that lawsuit that he won against Dominick's, the grocery store chain that was using his image to sell steaks. He won a judgment against that grocery store chain, and he didn't take a dime of that money. He donated that money to various charities throughout the Chicago area, and I don't think he got enough credit for that. And so, as much as, like, you know, yeah, y'all know I'm a Jordan fan through and through, but I just think it's fair for us to, like, yo, acknowledge, like, as much as y'all sit up here and talk about Jordan ain't never did shit, trust and believe. Like, it's a lot of shit that Jordan had been doing behind the scenes. Y'all just never heard about it because he never really amplified it, never really talked about it. And a lot of that stuff happened before social media was really a thing. So, yeah, man, I just felt like it was important to kind of highlight that. And that's what I'm winging on tonight, man. Shout out to Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand for giving up $100 million towards those sorts of efforts, man. That's a lot of fucking money, man. And hopefully it goes towards some really good causes, man, for real. But before we get on up out of here, of course, we got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave us those voicemail messages. Those messages will get played here live on the show, responded to in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails. Of course, those emails we get read here and reply to live here on the show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So you can go ahead, go there, follow me there, chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. And you can also hit up the man Cliff. Where can they hit you up, man?
DJ Neff Music, the Gram, and Twitter. And y'all see if he responds. All right. See if Span responds.
Are you really trying to That nigga tried it, yo. Like, that nigga tried it. I'm always on there. Somebody at me on Twitter, I'm like, if you're saying some extra stupid shit, you might get blocked. But come on, man. Come on, man. Also, man, hit us up on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio with a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time to let everybody know why you're rocking with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast and the Sparrow Poor Podcast Network. But yo, man, it's time for us to get on up out of here. Good talking to the homie. We ain't did this in a couple weeks, man. We need to get, you know, but you know what?
Get back on track.
But here's the thing, it ain't our fault though, man. Like, ain't no sports popping, baby.
You know what?
Ain't no sports popping. What's happening?
Last week we had no internet.
Damn.
Comcast, Walmart right here, got they hit the Walmart and they Comcast they the right here got they hit the Walmart. They hit every Walmart in the South Suburbs, man. That may sound messed up, but I was like,
they hit the Walmart.
Walmart, man. We didn't have cable. We didn't have internet for about 3 days, man. I actually had to go buy another router.
Yeah, we had some issues with the Comcast here a few weeks ago. I was kind of wondering if it was like a cyber attack happening and nobody told us about it. Because like our internet was like going in and out for like the better part of 3 days over here, man. So like I don't know what's going on with Comcast as of late. But yeah, man, it's a lot going on, man. The world is on fire. And we want the sports to come back. So we're going to talk to y'all when some more sports shit happen, right? But it's time for us to get on up out of here. But yeah. We'll talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.
Holla back, yo.